Johnny Green emailed my wife something for me this week, and it blessed me. You may not remember when Brother Frank Dutton was here a few months ago. He came down here with Brother Joseph Dalton and gave us testimony about he pastors a church in Anchorage, Alaska, but he'd been with some of the brothers, the missionary outreach that goes to the Philippines, and Brother Frank Dutton has worked with the people in Uganda, and he was over there recently, and while he was here, I gave those brothers, I don't know whether I gave them a sheet or some prayer cloth that they had heard we had, and they took them over there, and I heard, Johnny told me the other day that Brother Frank Dutton had sparingly passed them out. And I didn't like that, because why, if anybody has one, and I'm not faulting Brother Dutton, I'm faulting myself for not making this positive, why should I have 100 prayer cloths and somebody out there not have any?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've been in places where people have asked for a prayer cloth and I only had one in my wallet and I took and cut it in two. I just don't think anybody has an exclusive right on this message.
Amen.
And we believe in the belief of the prayer clause that Brother Branham said he had a more successful miracle working ministry of divine healing with prayer clause than he did with visions. I believe him when he says that.
Amen.
And so Brother Dutton was there, and there was a couple, and they had their son in the hospital, and the doctor sent him home to die, and they took the child home, and he passed away, and Brother Frank Dutton gave him a prayer cloth, and the mother put the prayer cloth on the child, and the child's alive.
Amen.
I've asked for testimony from the parents and pictures of this. But I want to ask you now, how many of you believe that?
Amen.
But then there's people that won't have anything to do with the prayer cloth.
Yep.
You know, it's not for them. There's no power in that prayer cloth. All it did was spark those people's faith.
Amen.
And when we believe, all things are possible.
Amen.
This morning when I wrote myself that note to talk with you about this, it reminded me of a story that we had a pastor and his wife came here 2 or 3 years ago. And while they were here, they learned about the prayer clause. And because of where he came from, and I believe it was Uganda, I felt to give him an entire sheet. And I asked him to take it home. No, I believe it was Zimbabwe. That, anyway, he's an African pastor. And I gave him a whole sheet. I think it was a three-quarter sheet. And he ought to be able to get a couple of thousand claws out of that if you cut them inch square or half inch square. I thought he'd take it and share it with everybody. Well, 6 or 8 months later, I got a testimony, or I was informed, that this brother had accidentally backed his car out of the garage and had killed his 2-year-old child. And, of course, it was disturbing. That would be to anybody. But they prayed, but then they remembered that they had this prayer sheet, which they had never passed out, but they were sleeping on it. They were using it for themselves. They jerked it off the bed, took it outside, put it on the child, and the child came back to life. Now, the lesson that I learned out of that is that they believed that, and they kept it unto themselves. But when it became one of their own, they shared it. Now, what made that child any more important than another child? And the reason I'm telling you this is because I think sometimes we do get selfish.
Amen.
Look, this gospel is for anybody who can hear it.
Yes.
And if you want to be blessed, you share this.
Amen. Right.
In fact, the scripture says, he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
Well, if you don't win souls, then you're not wise, then you're ignorant. Now, how many of you are going to be soul winners?
Amen.
How many of you want to be ignorant? I didn't think so. How many of you would like to be wise?
Yes.
Can you think of a greater thing to do than to tell somebody about the plan of salvation? Or about divine healing?
Right.
Or testify to them of something that God has done for you, or that you've heard has happened? That's just a personal lesson. And in the last few months, I've been making a list of some things that experiences I had with Brother Branham, which I think are exclusive. I haven't heard anybody talk about them. There's a whole list of them, and I'm sure if I started off on them, you'd remember them. But there's one that came to mind this week, and it'll fit in what I'm going to preach about this morning to you. And that's the one where Brother Branham spent about 2 hours one day on the trip to British Columbia talking to me about a couple of brothers. And if I would tell you their names, you probably all would recognize them. And he talked to me about some of the schemes that they pulled, how they had extorted money from other people, and how they said that Brother Branham told them to do this, and you give us $200, and they sent $10 to Brother Branham, and things like that. And Brother Branham, in that discussion, had me so angry at these, or so upset at them, that I decided the next time I saw them, I was going to challenge them about it. And if they didn't like it, I was going to roll up my sleeves and try to give them both a Texas whipping. And it was about 12 or 14 days later, we come back, and we stopped at Flagstaff, Arizona, to eat at Cabell's Restaurant. And Brother Brandon had been driving my car, and I'd been riding as a passenger. But you know how it is after you travel in a car 3 or 4 hours, you get out and you're stretching and all like that. See, I'm hesitant to raise that left arm, runner. That's high as I can get it, but it's going to go higher.
Amen.
Just believe in it. Now, I can lay down flat on my back and get my shoulders square, and I can take it all the way over my head. That goes to show you that posture is important. But we were stretching and all like that. Brother Branham looked at his watch, and he said, you know, if we had a couple of hours, we'd go over the mountain here over here to Prescott, and we'd see Brother so-and-so and so-and-so. And I stopped, and I said, Brother Branham, I don't understand. He said, understand what? I said, you spent 2 hours of the day telling me how these brothers treated these people and how they were crooks. Because that's what Brother Branham had called them. And that affected me. And I said, well, Brother Branham, I don't understand that. And this is the only time that I can recall that Brother Branham ever act like this to me. He said, Brother Green, I'm disappointed in you. And here was my reaction. What did I do? In that tone of voice, just like that. What did I do? And he said, I thought you'd understand. Just because they're crooks don't keep me from loving them.
Right. Amen.
Now, I don't know anybody else who had an experience like that who will tell it on themselves. But let me tell you what I learned from it. I started being nice to those people. And I've tried to make that my philosophy ever since. Just because somebody differs with me does not give me a right to not love them.
Right. Amen.
Just because somebody disagrees with me or mistreats me or does me wrong does not give me the right to keep me from loving them.
Amen.
And maybe you'll understand something about that lesson. Because folks, what is it that we're trying to learn in ourselves? You show me one place in the Bible where it talks about all of the requirements that we require people to have in order for us to identify them as a believer. Now, a woman cutting her hair, we know that Paul says it's wrong for a woman to do it and to wear garments pertaining to a man. But what's wrong about that is that it shows the sign of disobedience. But you look at all of the do's and don'ts that we have, and I'll give you an example that stirred this up. There was a couple that lives back east. The husband's not a believer, the wife is. And they visited a church in Oklahoma the other day. And the sister calls me on the phone, and she is so upset because she took her non-message believing husband to a message church. And there was a couple of sisters in that church that had high heel shoes on. And she was telling me how wrong that church was because these two sisters, or two women, had on high-heeled shoes. Well, now, we know what Brother Branham said about high-heeled shoes and the woman prancing and the reason it comes from. But do you really believe that that woman is going to go to hell? Where do we get this legalistic idea that because somebody don't have the same conviction that you do, that they're not a believer? I believe this has hindered us as people of God. We look at somebody and, well, now, you don't comb your hair right, or you got on the wrong color, or you didn't do it. And then it gets down to the point where you don't believe the message like I do.
Right.
Brother Branham didn't say it that way. And it's a matter sometimes that you misunderstood what he said about it.
Right.
Or somebody else understands it another way. Folks, what is the test?
Right.
Is that we all dress alike, look alike, talk alike? And look at the scriptures. Look at what Brother Branham said about a woman colored her hair. Somebody asked him that question. He said, well, I don't find any scripture against that.
Amen.
If the Bible spoke, Brother Branham spoke. But yet we get it, and if we have a conviction, I say live up to your conviction.
Amen. Right.
But don't try to make everybody else live your conviction. That's what I've told the Miles girls.
Amen.
Carolyn and Sandra. I defend their right to dress the way they do.
Sure.
That's their right.
Yeah.
But I've told them, don't you ever let me catch you trying to enforce that conviction on everybody else.
Amen.
But then I've had people come along and say, look at the way they dress. Look at what he teaches. Look at what he does. Look at that church, what they do. You know, and people want to judge us by that.
That's right.
So if I want to stop people from talking about us like that, I say, girls, dress another way. And I know all three dresses, both of them's God. They don't have the problem Janice and I have, you can't hang nothing else in the closet. At least I don't think. I've never looked in their closet. And I can talk about them like this because they know I love them. But you don't have to be like them to be a believer. Now, I will say this. Why does a woman want to dress the way some do?
Amen.
Why do you want to dress to where it is, oh, it's so tight it looks like somebody melted you and poured you in it and forgot to say when it was full? Or so tight that the outline of your underclothes show, and I remember what Paul LaFontaine said here. He said, there's some reason why they're called underclothes.
Amen.
And this layered look that the world has got now, and Britney Spears and all, where I went to Chase Bank this week to get a lien release worked out on one of the vans that we got from TLC. And there was one of the most beautiful girls that I've ever seen in my life. She must have been in her middle 30s or something. And I can call her a girl because I'm old enough to be her grandpa. But she was dressed so nice in a business suit. But her blouse here and here looked like undergarments. And I wondered, why would a beautiful girl like that wear that? And then it dawns on me. It's because they think that's sex appeal. Now, if you cause a man to look at you by the way you're dressed and the way you act, then Brother Branham said, if that man looks at you and lusts at you, commits adultery, you're guilty too.
Amen.
That's the problem with the high-heeled shoes and the dress and the undergarment look that does that. And,
amen.
And girls, just check your motive.
Yes.
You may not think it is, but if a man looks at you and lusts after you, you have committed adultery with that man. And the Bible does speak against adultery.
Yes. Amen.
And if you men, if you, you know, you understand it? But it's not the shoes, it's not the style, it's the motive that you have to do it with.
Right.
But now, because somebody does that, does that mean we should not love them?
No, sir.
We should not let them be a believer? Well, they're not a message believer, and they don't have the same conviction I got, and they go to that church, and a great thing is, you know, we've got a lot of families in the church. I think one time we had 17 people who somehow or another in their past life, when they were younger, they had gotten their life mixed up and they'd been married before and remarried. And at one time we had a couple of families in here where both couples were sitting here across the aisle from each other. And the word got out, Perry Green lets anybody come to that church. Yes, sir. Church is a place for sinners.
Amen.
And because somebody had their life messed up or a scar in their life, and all I can say to you is, you thank God if you lived a perfect life. But that shouldn't give you the right to despise or put anybody else out.
Amen.
Because I just say, look at the very woman caught in the act of adultery.
Yes.
Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. That to me is Christianity.
Amen.
So just because somebody differs with us does not keep us from loving.
Amen.
That's a point I wanted to make about one of those things that's exclusive with me. And I'm going to tell you folks, I'm not bragging about it, but I'm one of the very few that will let sinners go to heaven. Or be in this message. But we can become so self-righteous in ourselves that if we're not careful, we've got criticism for them. And if we've got any ought in our heart against anybody else, then we're in danger of hellfire.
Amen. Yes.
What can a person do that gives you the right to not love them? They'd rather major on, well, God's word calls for total separation of unbelief. Well, where are you going to live? When are you going to stop seeing your husband or your wife or your mother or your dad? And there's some people that believe that that's right. But how do you know you've got it right? I was told that by some pastors here in the city, that God's word calls for total separation of unbelief, so they couldn't have fellowship with me. But I asked this question, wouldn't it be more Christ-like? And more in the spirit of Brother Brown's message, say that I don't agree with their interpretation of Brother Brown's message.
Right. Amen.
I don't say I've got everything absolutely right, but I know that I want to be right.
Yes.
But I'll give you the same right to have your convictions as I have with mine.
Amen.
Now, if when I get through today, all of you want to find another pastor, that won't be all right with me, but I will love you anyhow.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'll tell you this. If you don't love me, you won't make it. Because Brother Bram said you won't make it without perfect love.
Amen.
And you say, well, perfect love means that I don't put up with you. Well, then you're going to have a problem when you get there because I'm going to be there.
Amen.
Brother Branham told me that the day would come when he would introduce me personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe that's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Now, you may not believe that. But you could take that and say, well, Brother Green don't even know the Lord. Well, I can't defend myself for that, but I'll have to say, if I know my heart, I not only love him, but I love you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to follow Brother Bram's message.
Amen.
I want to be faithful to not only follow it in the simplicity of the gospel, but I want to share it with everybody else. I believe that's the reason that God has allowed me to find the things that I have, and even these prayer cloths, to be able to make them available to everybody. I have to say that was a supernatural event. For Brother Brown used to say to me, we used to do that, but we don't do it anymore. And that told me to go home, get stuff from Janice, and Sister Shirley Lambert, clean their closet out. And that gave me those four big boxes of stuff that we had. And then we kept them all those years. And then we've shared them. And the testimonies we've had, we could write a book of Acts behind it. And I'm putting out the call today. If you know of something supernatural or a miracle that's happened with those prayer clothes, please take time to write us about it. Because I think it's time that we shared this work of faith and this spark of an inspiration with anybody who can believe.
Amen.
And who will believe.
Yes.
Amen.
I want to be faithful with Brother Branham's message. Now, I think that what we believe, we need to hold it very dear.
Amen.
But if I remember correctly, I heard Brother Branham say, we don't want to get to the place to where this is what I believe, period.
Right.
we need to leave a comma. Because which of us can truthfully, honestly, even to ourselves, say, we know it all? And if you ever get to the place where you think you do have it figured out, Brother Branham said there's only one thing you can be sure of, and that is you're wrong.
Amen.
Now, if anybody's sure they got it all right and all figured out, then I know something about you that you don't recognize about yourself. You're wrong. I believe there are things that none of us have fully, thoroughly understood and got a revelation of in our heart.
Amen.
And I am thrilled when somebody comes along and shows me something from the Scriptures.
Praise
or from Brother Branham's message.
Amen.
That's not somebody's imagination about it, but the two of them will fit together.
Amen.
I want to ask you this question. Since 1965, since Brother Branham left us on December the 24th, 1965, has anything changed in this world? Have you changed any of your belief, your theology, your understanding of this message? I was present in a minister's meeting back in Arkansas one time, and one brother stood up and said, I thank the Lord, and I can honestly say, I've not changed one iota since Brother Branham left. And I was the next speaker, and I said, Brother, I'm sorry, I can't say that. I understand things now that I didn't understand when Brother Branham was alive.
Amen.
I know things now that I didn't know then. So I can't say that I have not changed. At least I hope I've changed.
Amen.
And I'm not going to stand before you today and say, this is what I believe, period. I believe that God is still dealing with His people.
Amen.
I believe there's been some things that's changed.
Hallelujah.
I believe there's been some things that has been discovered, natural things in the world.
Yeah, right.
That Brother Branham never mentioned. Are we to deny the existence of those things because Brother Branham did not mention them? I believe that God has revealed Himself in a fuller way. I won't say better, but and I think that everything that we need for salvation and to make the rapture, Brother Branham spoke to us about it. But I don't think we can shut our eyes, close our heart, our thoughts, and say, there's been nothing revealed. There's been nothing shown to us. Because I won't have to talk to you very long till I'll hear you mention something that Brother Branham didn't talk about.
Right.
Let's look at Amos 3:7. Have I got... Now this is on. Here's a verse of scripture that Brother Branham used all the time. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets.
Amen.
Now to me, the way I read this verse of scripture is that before God does anything, He reveals it to one of His servants. You see, everybody put it with Brother Branham. Well, God won't do anything until He revealed it to Brother Branham. But you know the word servants is in there. And I want to be a servant of the Lord. I think you want to be a servant of the Lord. So I think if we're honest with ourselves, we should understand that God is now revealing things to His servants. I'm not looking for another prophet. Now, there are several groups in the world that they have selected another brother and some sisters to be their prophet. And if that prophet to them does not say something, they won't accept it. It doesn't matter where it comes from. You take, for example, these prayer cloths. Because I had possession of them and I have shared them with everybody in the world, there's some people won't have anything to do with them because Perry Green had them. Well, you know, I can't do anything about that. They just won't be a blessing to them. Now, what happens is when something like this Ugandi thing comes along, they can't give God any glory for it because, first of all, they don't believe it was of God. If they would admit that it was of God, Then it would have to admit that God used Perry Green. And when you deny something that God did, what's the difference? Somebody said, I don't believe in divine healing. You see, it's a very basic thing. All healing is of God.
Yes. Amen.
Satan cannot, does not, will not heal.
Right.
He does not have the power to do it.
No.
Neither does Satan know the secrets of your heart until you speak it.
Yes.
And when you speak it, then he knows it. And usually it's somebody else hears it and they repeat it, and that's when he hears it. But all healing is of God. So when I hear anybody being healed, I rejoice. I give God praise for it.
Amen.
Excuse me. I don't care if it was a witch doctor. That witch doctor didn't heal nobody.
Amen.
But if somebody was hurt and suffering, and they have a miracle in their life, I give God the glory for it.
Amen.
If it was a Catholic priest, if it was the Pope, if it was somebody that don't love me. And boy, that is low down. But you think about it yourself. What right do you have to not love anybody?
No.
And I'd say that hereby shall all men know,
yes,
that we are disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we love one another.
Amen.
Not because we dress or act or talk or say we believe or go to a certain church or follow a certain person, but because we love one another.
Amen.
And if we don't, Lord have mercy on us. Now, there was a place where Jesus was talking. He told him, said that, you know, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. There's another place where that thought is given, and that's where Paul was stoned and he was drug out of the city, and he went to another city and he preached the same thing. And there it says the people are more honorable than they were at the previous place because they searched the scriptures in case these things be so. When you hear somebody talk about something, do you search the message?
Amen.
You search the scriptures in case they've told you something that maybe you didn't quite understand or hear like that before?
Right.
To see if they be so.
Amen.
And then if somebody comes along and even says, well, I believe so and so and so and so and so and so, and I believe it's thus saith the Lord, and the Lord told me this. Brother Branham said, if he differed with that, he wouldn't say, that's of the devil. What did he say he said he would do? He said, I'd rather believe the brother misunderstood it somehow.
Yeah. Yes.
Why can't we be like that?
Amen. Right.
Help us, Lord.
It's just like the brother who has said that the Lord told him that Brother Green's fixed and go home. I don't say that's of the devil. I just want to believe that the brother misunderstood something.
Yeah.
Now, because if he's right, and I think I've figured up about this why and what it is, but maybe he was supposed to, the Lord has shown him I'm going to die, instead of coming to Tucson and start a church, maybe he's supposed to see me, because there's something been on my heart for a couple of years, and I can prove that by Brother Bennett and other brothers I've talked to about.
Yes,
to give him something to help his ministry.
Amen.
And he needs to come see me and rectify himself with me, because I don't have anything against him. I've helped him a lot of times. But, well, I'll just tell you what it is. We've got that big yellow tent. I've had it on my heart to give that to the brother for 2 years. But I haven't seen him. Now, if I'm going to go home, I need to do that before I go home.
Yeah.
And if he'll come and make himself available to me, and I give him that to go to Africa, then he's going to feel like I'm trying to get rid of him. To me, I just rather believe he misunderstood it.
Sure.
You understand?
Amen.
Let me get my breath a minute. I don't believe that we have the right that when somebody comes and tells us that the Lord showed them something, that we should just say, well, that's of the devil. Our attitude should be, maybe you misunderstood something somewhere. Because if they're a brother or a sister in Christ, we should give them the benefit of the doubt.
Amen.
And pay attention. Maybe God does want us to tell us something about ourselves that we need to know.
Yes.
Now, two times Jesus told us, search the scriptures, in case they be so, or the, because you think in them you'll find the eternal life. And Paul, they were more honorable, search the scriptures in case these things be so. Now, I've said that to launch into these subjects. I personally feel that there are some things happening in this world today that's important to us that Brother Branham did not mention. And they are so vivid. They affect so many people in the world that I feel they've got to somewhere or another be in the Bible. One example is the Gulf oil spill. I haven't found any place, I don't know of any place where Brother Branham talked about it. But do you understand something that's affected the world the way this is and it's going to? And some people think now they've got it capped off, that is, we're over with it. But you know, now they're finding a layer of oil on the seabed. Amen. It is going to affect the food chain.
Yes.
It's going to affect us for centuries. Especially along the South Coast and even our food chain in America. Amen. And you know, we've been a nation of plenty.
Yes.
But there's coming a time of famine.
Amen.
Now, is there a possibility that there's some place in the scriptures that a judgment or a vial or a catastrophe like this is going to happen? What about the World Trade Center, which we were all reminded of all this weekend? It changed America forever. Almost 3,000 people died. We've been involved in two wars. For 9 years, we've lost several thousand young men and women. We've spent not billions, but trillions of dollars. It's still affecting us today. Is something like that mentioned in the scriptures? Brother Branham never talked to us about a war in Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan, much less the World Trade Center. What about the rise, the increase, and the popularity of the Muslim faith? Brother Branham mentions the Mohammed religion. And a couple of places he calls it Muslim. It's more or less that somebody gave Brother Branham an article where the man who wrote the article, he was talking about that the Muslims deny the supernatural and the miracles. And they were being critical of Billy Graham. But this man in this article, he says, how can a Muslim honestly deny the miracles that happened in the ministry of Reverend William Branham?
Amen.
In Durban, South Africa, where 10,000 Muslims were healed and saved? And Brother Branham refers to that. And he talks about T.L. Osborne and all the Muslims that have been saved under his ministry and healed. And then Brother Branham says, and we stand behind Billy Graham 100%. Well, I've heard brothers in this message call him Billy Goat Graham. What kind of a spirit? That's the same kind of spirit that won't have anything to do with me. Because I don't wear their label. But I think Billy Graham is one of two witnesses.
Amen.
And I think Oral Roberts is. And there's another thing that I put down exclusive that I've experienced. And I'm not bragging about this. I'm simply stating the facts. Who else in this message do you know that's had the opportunity to talk and visit and fellowship with Billy Graham and Oral Roberts as I have? And I don't take that lightly.
Amen.
Because I believe they are two witnesses that I think I can show you in the scriptures.
Right.
Since Brother Branham left us, another thing that has happened that I think should be in the scriptures, and that's the peace that Israel has made with Egypt. What about this Palestinian state they're asking for? There wasn't very much mention of that when Brother Branham was alive. And certainly, Brother Branham never mentioned the Six-Day War. And Jerusalem being under the control of the Jews since 1967. I wish Brother Branham had that knowledge in 65 and given us some more understanding of it. But I want you to know, I think that is a prophecy fulfilled.
Yes.
And I think when he talks about Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until, I tell you, I can hear Brother Branham being excited about that.
Yes. Amen.
And there are things that have happened since then that I think the bride would be edified with.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, you want to know what time it is? Look at the Jew. Look at Israel. How many of you want to know what time it is?
Amen.
Look at them.
Yes.
Now this week they're involved in a new round of peace talks.
Amen.
And there's some very significant things happening in the world that I don't know that you can find a quote about Brother Brown. But do they apply to us?
Yeah.
Or do they not? What about all the nations around Israel? You know, there's 15 nations that just totally box Israel in. Either this little bitty country, you squared it up, it'd be 26 miles wide and 85 miles long. You could fit it between here and Phoenix. Just a quarter down Interstate 10. Now it's got branches and everything, but that's the size of the square miles. 26 miles wide and 85 miles long. And almost everything that happened in your Bible is in that area.
Amen.
Of geology.
Yeah.
Now, Israel has come along and built a fence, a wall, between the West Bank and Judea and Samaria, and them, and cutting off the Jordan River and so forth. But you take and you go up to the top of it, and there's Turkey. And do you know your geography well enough to know to name the countries off around there? And there's Lebanon and Syria, and then Iraq. Then Afghanistan is on the other side, and let's see, we'd have Iran. And then we'd have Saudi Arabia and Jordan. And if you take it, there's not a break anywhere in it. All the way around it. All the way down there with all those smaller countries. And then you get over to Somalia and all of those. And then you go all the way across the northern part of Africa. All the way over to Morocco and Libya. It's just like they're totally surrounded by Muslims. I think they counted, I heard one time several years ago, the population of 150 million of them. And here's Israel with what? Less than 6 million Jews. And then there's about 5 million Palestinians living in their border itself. And yet, look what God has done with those few people.
Amen.
They've never acknowledged of having nuclear weapons, but I think just about everybody in the world believes they do. 40% of the Nobel Prizes is won by the Jewish people who live in that part of the world. It just goes to show you that There's something about that race of people, that group of people, that God made them his chosen people.
Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes they've wanted to say, God, choose somebody else. But look at the geography of it. Even the geography of that land testifies of who they are and the promises God has made to them. But when you count and you look at the geography of those countries around Israel, and next to it is the Mediterranean Sea, they've got no outlet except that, the Great Sea. Their water supply has to come from Mount Hebron and down through Syria, into the Golan Heights, down to the Jordan River, and runs right down to it, and they've used so much of it until by the time it gets to the Dead Sea, there's just a dribble, you might say, that goes in there, and as a result, the Dead Sea's drying up and receding like that and exposing, and what's Israel finding? Billions of dollars worth of minerals along the shore.
Yeah.
Enough phosphate to fertilize the crops of the world. For everybody else, it was just salt water. They raise tomatoes. It's got a shelf life of 6 months. The things that they accomplish and do. Now these things, Brother Bram didn't talk about them because they didn't happen. The world didn't know them at that time. Brother Bram does talk about the restoration of the Holy Roman Empire.
Amen.
And here a few months ago, I told you what happened November the 3rd, 2009, that the Holy Roman Empire was restored. I think there's some things happening with that right now that I think they're scriptural enough and spiritual enough. And I think Brother Bram said enough about them that the rest of the details which he didn't mention, I think it is inspirational and should be help us awaken to the day and the hour which we live in. How many times did you ever hear Brother Bram talk about one world government? Well, he talks about it about Revelation 13. But look at the details of it. It's happened now.
Amen.
Started with Reagan and Bush Sr. and Bush, George W. and with Bill Clinton, and it was almost an accepted fact that we're going to have one world government. What about a one world currency? The euro. What did Brother Branham say about China and Russia? Look at the change in the world economic system. Now, in Brother Branham's visions, watch Russia.
Yes.
Nazism, fascism, communism, Romanism. But look what's changed about that today. But look at China. Look at the part they play today in the world economic system. What I'm saying is that I think all of these things are so effective worldwide that there should be something in the scriptures about it. But it seems like the accepted norm is that if Brother Branham did not mention it, we're not interested in it. Well, I don't feel that way. I feel that if we see something happen, we should take Brother Branham's next to the last sermon, modern events made clear by prophecy.
Amen.
And I'm criticized sometimes for preaching on current events. But I believe that if we see current events that's happening, that we should be able to understand what they are if we can find them in the scriptures. Now, this thing about the year 2012, it was really not common knowledge in the world until 1980. And the truth is, since 1980, it has become a very popular subject among archaeologists and astronomers. And there's 14 major ancient cultures. The Mayas, the Incas, the Hopis, that they all came to the same conclusion. They wrote ancient calendars about it. And it's all based on the stars. And Brother Branham said that was a Bible.
Amen.
He says whatever happens on earth is written there first.
Right.
But I challenge you to find where Brother Branham talked about 2012. And the reason is because the stars are going to line up and our sun is going to be right in the apex of the midway, the Milky Way, and the date is December the 21st, 2012. Well, do you know how long we've got until that happens? Now, for some reason, a year or so ago, this came to my attention, and I've been reading about it and studying about it, and I feel like I've even had a couple of supernatural conversations about it. And I've told you, I promised you people that the Lord willing, I want to bring you what I have read and heard about it. But last week, I've already told the pastors that I felt it became so vivid to me that I need to bring you this. Now, because I can't say, Brother Branham said, and read you a quote, I know, but it's, to some it's going to be turned down flat. But I want to have a well enough grasp on it that I can show you why these people believe this, and their evidence and their motivation was the stars. Now, I don't know the stars. I don't know the zodiac. But I can read. And I can read why the Mayas did this. I can show you a picture of their calendar. I couldn't understand it if somebody else hadn't helped me understand it or explain it. Up here on the on a prophet mountain in the Hopi Reservation, they've got this drawn on a bluff there and on some rocks. And all these things, everybody looks at them and says, well, how did all 14 of these cultures come up with the same conclusion? It's because they all based it on the same star pattern. And there's nobody can argue about that because they've been there for centuries, and even the birth of Jesus Christ, wise men from the East followed him there. Brother Bram said that was the first Bible. We believe about Brother Bram's own life and ministry. The woman on the bus. The woman at the fairgrounds. Or the expedition. That she told him who he was, what he was, a calling, a sign on his life. We all listen to that and rejoice.
Yes.
But because these other things have not been mentioned by him, and we can't say, Brother Branham said, then people said, well, I don't have nothing to do with it. Well, I'm sorry, but I can't agree with that. Brother Branham, when he taught the seals, he took time off. And even then, when he got through with it, or wait a minute, maybe you believe that Brother Branham just went into the room every day and everything he said was given to him by that angel. I want you to know Brother Branham spent months reading. Now the reason I say that is because when Brother Morris Ungren asked the family for his books back that he had loaned Brother Branham about the Nicene Fathers and the pre-Nicene Fathers, I was privileged to go into Brother Branham's home, pull those books out of the library, and I'm guilty of taking the books and turning every page in seeing where Brother Branham had checked. And when I saw things there that I heard him say on the seals, I read what he had there, and I know that Brother Branham read, and what he had, a lot of these things, the world had known for centuries. For example, I can show you a book written about serpent's head 150 years ago. But Brother Branham's gift was, is that him being a prophet, when he would read something, the Spirit would quicken to him, that's right. And this over here is right. And he put them together, and that's what we got with the seals and the church age.
Yes.
Some people have the idea that Brother Branham, everything he got was just, nobody else ever said anything about it. It just came to him, and like the handwriting on the wall. But I don't ever hear Brother Branham talk like that. I believe Brother Branham read it, and because of the gift in his life, he said, this is right, and this is right, and this is right. And he put it together and gave us, thus saith the Lord. But there are things that are happening now that I never heard Brother Branham mention directly about 2012, but he did tell me that the star pattern's right. And if they are happening, I have enough interest in it, I've read about it. So I guess what I'm telling you in this introduction this morning, before I get to the sermon, not going to make it yet. And I'm not going to lie to you that I'm going to quit in 20 minutes. I just quit. I told Janice I'm going to keep it short so I won't get so tired. But you can't expect me to bring it to you if I've spent weeks getting it together. And all the thing I've said so far is in defense, the motive why I want to tell you what I want to tell you. As I said, it wasn't until 1980 they started talking about this 2012. And when Brother Branham, when I discovered that this is all stars, about the stars, I'm not going to teach you the zodiac, but Brother Branham said it was true. It starts with the Virgin and ends with a lion.
Amen.
And all this shows that we've gone through the zodiac. Now, If that is true and it's there, I don't want to just get up and point you to it. I want to be responsible, and I want to take enough time that I understand it well enough that I can explain it to you to where I can understand it. So I'm going to tell you now, as I've already told the pastors, that I'm going to take a few weeks off. And I'm going to devote myself to this because I have found that when I get involved in it and something else comes along, it takes away from it, and I need to do just like Brother Brown did, spend some time getting these facts and then waiting on the Lord to see what the spiritual significance is for us as a church. Now, I'm not going to give this for the rest of the world. The rest of the world can listen to it, but I feel responsible for you people.
Amen.
And where I feel like this is worth the effort is because I think it will stir us up to really accomplish what God wants to accomplish in our lives.
Amen.
I'm not going to give you a key or a secret or anything else, but maybe I'll give you just enough this morning to let you know that there's something that's already happened. Look at the number of followers in this message today. With all the different interpretations we've got. Now, when Brother Branham was alive, he never had 2 million people that believed he was the prophet of Malachi 4. There wasn't people in 150 or 60 countries believing his message. He'd more or less been wherever he'd been and so forth. But today, look at the widespreadness of this message. Look at the influence of it. Now, here's another thing that's exclusive with me. Brother Branham told me one day, he said, Brother Green, it won't be easy, but you'll make it. How many of you ever heard me say that?
Amen.
How many of you ever heard me say the next statement? Brother Green, when you get to Tucson, you'll find 9 different interpretations of my message.
Amen.
You've heard me say that for years.
Yeah, right.
Now, some of the other pastors, they resent me saying that. There was one here a while back that got all over my case. Because somebody that goes to church here saw some of his people, or I don't know whether somebody here or not, but anyway, he told me that somebody came up and saw some of his people and says, oh, y'all are one of the 9 different interpretations. And they resented being told they had a different interpretation. They said, we believe the message, thus saith the Lord, Brother Branham, nothing else. Well, I happen to know that they believe the thunders. And you can't go to church and without somebody talking about the thunders. And to me, they do have a different understanding of Brother Brown's message than the other people do. And I'm not trying to label them or belittle them, but I'll be honest with you, it took me 11 years before I found 9 different understandings or applications to the message or segments or tangents, whatever you want to call. And if you want to be the right one, that's okay. Then that leaves eight of the rest of us. But Brother Bram told me that I'd find 9 different interpretations of his message.
Amen.
And as I say, it took me 11 years before I found all 9 of them. And that was because I refused to believe I had one. And one day it dawned on me, Perry, you're different than the others. So you're the 9th one. And you know what mine is called? Balance. Keep your balance in the scriptures.
Amen.
And to me, I believe that if Brother Branham said it, the Bible backs it up.
Amen.
I don't believe Brother Branham had any authority to say it unless he found it in the Bible.
Amen.
You say, well, it just proves you don't believe it, or you wouldn't look for it in the Bible. When I'm not afraid of looking in my Bible and not finding what Brother Branham taught.
That's right.
Amen.
In fact, when I find it in the Bible, it just makes me rejoice.
Amen.
And I find it in the Bible because I didn't understand the scripture until I heard him talk about it. But when he says it, that makes me feel better. Not because I didn't believe it to start off with, but now I can tell anybody, look, the Bible says that. Jesus said that all men would know we're his disciples when we love one another.
Amen.
Brother Branham said we will not make it without perfect love.
Amen.
Then I want to ask a question. What is our excuse for not loving somebody?
Help us, Lord.
What excuse will you have for not loving everybody? Now, Brother Caleb preached on fellowship the other night. Brother Branham said it's 2 fellows in 1 boat. 1 ship. But do you know somebody that you just don't love? I didn't say maybe you don't enjoy being around them because they make you uncomfortable by trying to force something on you that you can't quite understand the way they do. But you know, it's very important that we be careful and watch our own motive. Do you dislike anybody? Now, with my sister Sammy, I could tell her that I didn't like her ways. But I couldn't tell her I hated her. My mother would give me a shellacking. She said, she's your sister, and she's a human being, and you have no right to say you hate her. By whatever nature you have toward them, they're going to have toward you. Now, to just so that you won't feel like we've just gone through this to set the background, let me just share 2 things with you. One is, Vice President Biden made a speech before the Parliament of the United States of Europe in May of this year. And in there, he flatters the European governments. And you know, Daniel says something about the way of flattery. What he goes, it's about the biggest diplomatic thing that you tell them how great they are. But he made this statement because it was in Brussels, that Brussels has the absolute right to call itself the capital of the free world. In other words, above Washington or any other nation, it has the right to be the capital of the one world government of the world. Now, you may not understand what that really entails, but when they start talking about that parliament merging with our Congress and working together, that's just how close we are to a one world government.
Amen. Yes.
Those people will be able to vote on our representatives.
Right.
They will outnumber us in population. And when you hear Brother Brown talk about what He saw in that vision of 33 communism, Nazism, and fascism, and Romanism. And you see the conditions of the economic of the world today, and you hear them talking about when they made this bailout to Greece, that it was the beginning of the collapse of the European economic system. There's only one source of money in the world today that can bail out America and the European Union.
Right.
And that's Rome.
Amen.
And there's one man in charge of all of that.
Yes.
Right. And I think I can show you enough of what Brother Brown says about that. But in the seals, Brother Brown talked to us about the four horses. You remember the color of them? They were white. There was a red one. There was a black one. And Brother Brown called them a pale one. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
Now, that's Revelations chapter 6, 1 through 8.
Amen.
But I'm not going to go into detail of that. I'm just going to give you one point of this, and I'm going to close for this morning. And Lord willing, I'll probably go right back into it tonight. But in the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, 1 through 8, that prophet writes about four powers.
Amen.
And he calls them four spirits.
That's right.
Now, when the translators of the New Testament and Revelations, they named the horses because they were looking at them like literal horses. But Brother Bram comes along and tells us they were spirits.
Amen.
They were system. Zacharias tells us they're spirits. Brother Brown called them systems. Now, Brother Brown said about the white one being innocent. That's the Roman church. Talked about the red one. That's the martyrs. And you remember he said that scripture sometimes has a compound meaning. But I'd like for you to look at three verses of scripture. Matthew 6:33. Can we jump that far ahead? I'm sorry, it's way down the list. It's Mark, you're right. Mark 6:33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him. Oh, got the wrong one. I got the wrong one down here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it because it's important. Wonder why I do things like that. Mark 6:39, not 33. Shows you I'm getting old. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Well, you know any other color for grass besides green? And do you know what story this is out of? Where did this incident happen? Jesus is feeding the 5,000. Now you know the story. I don't have to tell it to you. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now, can we go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 7? The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Green grass. One more. Revelations 9:4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, it particular mentioned the detail of green. Now, When this happened, I'll give you the details of it later. I picked up the Greek lexicon, And I discovered that the word for green is chloris, like chlorophyll. You know, that's what chlorophyll is. It's the green in the plants and the leaves. But here, in these three scriptures, the word for green in the Greek is chloris. Now, what becomes so distinguished about this is when you go to Revelation 6 and 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Over a fourth part of the earth. To kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with a beast of the earth. That word pale in the Greek is chloris. But here they translated it pale. But in all the other places in our Bible, it's translated green. Now, you all know one reason why this attracted me is because of my name. Now, the translators, I looked this up to, the reason they do some things, is they never saw a green horse. So they translated pale horse. Really, the color was pale green. Now, when I noticed that, here's the thought that came to me. Somewhere or another, there's got to be a scriptural reference to the increase of the Muslim faith in this earth at this time. The fourth horse was a green horse. Now you tell me, when you see a Palestinian parade, anything with a Muslim tint to it, what color do they have? I asked the other boys back there that just came back from Israel, do you remember the trim and the color around the Dome of the Rock? The minarets that you see in Israel, they're green. Every year in New York City, whenever there's some special event like there was yesterday, the Empire State Building was red, white, and blue. But on Ramadan, it was green. To me, I think that green is the color of the Muslim faith. And we're going to take this fourth horse, and we're going to tell the things that the scripture says he does, and we're going to see how many of them are being fulfilled right now in our day.
Amen.
Now, Brother Green, you don't have any authority to talk like that because Brother Bram didn't say that. But then you just listen to me and my folly. We'll see if you get anything out of it. The Lord willing, tonight at 5 o'clock, I'll start right there. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings in our life, for our understanding of your word and the day we live in. Inspire us as you stir us up by your word. And let modern events come clear to us when we see them in Bible prophecy. I ask all of us, Lord, today to have a spirit that we'll search the scriptures in case these things be so. Because, Lord, we see the day we live in, we see our country not being invaded, but becoming indoctrinated, controlled, intimidated. And I can see that it's the fulfillment of your word. So Lord, I don't see any way that I can stop it. I can just make myself ready. For behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen. Would you stand with me and we'll sing as you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I dismissed at 12 o'clock. Father, I appreciate Clock me, I ride a green horse.